Welcome to another exciting episode of the Click Nation's Comic Book Chronicles. I am your host, Tim D-O-double-G. And I'm joined by Agent underscore 70 on Twitter.
What's up, everybody? What's up?
He needs to add his Twitter stuff on the bottom of the screen.
Oh, that's right. I will do that. I will do that.
And we also have at Roddy Cat on Twitter with us.
Yay! Let me not get out of effect so fast.
Hello, everybody. Good to be back. Good to be back.
And Dirt at PCN underscore Dirt is not with us. He's tending to his sick daughter, so we hope she's better.
Good. Feel better. Feel better.
Feel better. Get that bug out of you.
That's right.
And I'm at TimDOGG98 on Twitter and also at TheClickNation on Twitter. And, of course, go to the website, TheClickNation.com, where you can find previous episodes of the Click Nation Comic Book Chronicles, comic book reviews, movie news, TV news. That's TheClickNation.com. Like I said, follow the Twitter account at TheClickNation. Like our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/TheClickNation. We're on Google Plus, just search for TheClickNation. And also join the community, TheClickNation community. YouTube.com/TheClickNation, where you can find previous episodes, so the video episodes of the Comic Book Chronicles. Subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Just search for TheClickNation. And if you ever have any email you want to have read on a future show, send that on over to theclicknation@gmail.com. And we are recording. We also record record live every Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern time. I need to start remembering to put that in the intro if people want to start actually trying to tune in live. Did I say the email? I can't remember.
Yes, you did.
Okay. Like I was saying before the show, I feel like I'm off my game, missing a week. Been missing too many weeks lately. Got to get back in the groove.
The holidays.
Holiday time, exactly.
Right. Yes. So first, how was everyone's Thanksgiving?
It's good. It was good. It's good. Ate probably a little too much. Typical, yeah. Right?
Yes.
Yeah, pretty much. Same here. It was good. Did some work and, you know, saw some family, so everything was great.
That's good to hear. Mine was well. I spent it with the parents and Adam Black, my brother, and his family.
Shout out to Adam Black.
Adam Black will probably be watching or listening at some point tonight or later in the week. And as I was discussing with Roddy Cat before the show, I had my 15-year high school reunion last Friday. That went well. As well. I remember about 50% of the people there. I remember, like I said, 50% of them. So,
did you guys have a 10?
A tent?
A 10 year.
Oh, no. We we had missed our 10-year. We tried to organize I think 11-year, but that fell through. So this is our first time all getting together.
Well, so you didn't have a 5, and you screwed up the 10, so it's 15. Wow.
Well, nobody goes to the 5 and the 10. That's usually when the plans start going. So
no, man. See, now I'm going to betray my age on live internet TV. I went to my 5. I went to my 10. I went to my 15. And this past weekend was... Da-da-da! What do you think?
20.
16. And believe it or not, there's still a ton of people that haven't changed a bit. Myself included, apparently. Because that's all I heard.
How are you all older than me?
Hey, man. That's kind of the way it goes. Yeah, so we were talking before the show, and... Well, now, you know what? We don't need to get into that. But, yeah, we were talking about, it was like, yeah, because I remember y'all were saying that y'all were talking about your 20s, and I was sitting here like, wow, my 25 is coming up in a couple of years.
No kidding.
Yeah, so I'm up there in age. But, hey.
Gotcha. Hey, man. It's all good.
Yeah.
So that was everyone's Thanksgiving. So we have a lot of Cobweb news to get to tonight. And we'll start off with, let's see, this is a combination of stuff from the past 2 weeks, because I think I still have stuff from, 2 weeks ago on here.
I got from 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, about to say, you want to get the elephant in the room out the way?
I'm going to say which one.
Well, I was thinking about the Wonder Woman thing, but.
Yeah, we can start with Wonder Woman. So this week, Warner Brothers, DC Entertainment announced that they had cast Wonder Woman for the Batman, Superman, Man of Steel sequel. And the actress playing her is with Gal Gadot.
Gal Gadot.
Gadot. Yeah.
Gal Gadot.
From the Fast and Furious franchise.
Which she's awesome in, by the way.
Yeah, she was fine.
Right, but come on now. Seriously? Yeah.
Well, as I would say, as Jennifer Lawrence has may or may not have shown, it's probably good to get somebody who is less known. Maybe she'll bring something to the part. I don't know.
Yeah.
I haven't watched any of the I've only watched a couple of the Fast and Furious movies.
Oh, you're missing out.
Yeah, I tell him I have to go back.
Rest in peace, Paul Walker, by the way.
Yes.
Indeed, yeah.
And Nelson Mandela.
Yeah, no, listen, I did not want to put Nelson Mandela second. But because Fast and Furious was the topic of conversation, that's why we pay our respects to Paul Walker, who I am a huge fan of. I've watched every Fast and Furious movie. I've watched the first 6, no, the first 5, at least 10 times each.
Right. Running Scared,
I'm did you see huge, that? No, I did not.
Yeah. Let's say that's pretty good, too.
See? And number 6, the one that just came out, on video, I was able to watch multiple times because of, the internet. Right. And that's my answer now to everything. The internet.
The internet.
And, I'm very disappointed that now Fast 7 is going to be redone. Gal Gadot was, spoilers. Gal Gadot's character isn't supposed to be in 7 because of something happening to her in 6. So maybe that's why she found herself available for Wonder Woman.
So it's basically like Tokyo Drift and the other dude, but okay.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. So, this is interesting. What do you guys think of her look? Because I think that's what everyone was kind of harping on, that she's kind of skinny.
Well, outside of that, because there was an article from, I guess it was Bleeding Cool, saying that there was this Tumblr site called DC Women Kicking Ass. Actually, and their Twitter account, they didn't like that choice, and it wasn't for her looks. They were basically going by how many movies she's done, or whoever was running the Twitter was going by that. So there are some people who don't like it for outside of her look, even though their reasoning was a little lacking.
Because they didn't want to say it was her look.
Hmm?
I said it's because they didn't want to say that it was her look. That's my guess.
Yeah, probably.
So, I think she'll hit, if she has plenty of time, they'll have her hit the weight room. She'll put on maybe 5-10 pounds of a little muscle and she'll be fine.
Yeah.
I'm just worried about her acting because, well, actually, I'm not worried about her acting just yet because she was fine in the Fast films. She didn't, you know, she was a supporting character, so she didn't have that many speaking lines. So she's not going to carry the whole movie. I'm assuming she'll be a sort of a cameo portion. Right. Even though it seems like they're throwing every freaking character in this movie, and it's basically it's like a mini Justice League movie.
It's a Hail Mary. I hate to say. Do you guys see that? Do you guys sense that? That Warner Brothers getting a little desperate?
Yeah, it seems like that with most of the stuff like they're doing, like the throwing the Flash, and then they're just basically wanting to get as much out there to try to keep pace with, I would dare say, try to keep pace with what Marvel's been doing organically.
They're too far behind.
Yeah.
You know, so Marvel laid the groundwork with all the solo movies, and then they put it out there that, hey, we're going to do Avengers. And, right. You know, why not just do it the slow burn? You know, you have to build something. You have to start, you know, building with the bricks to get the house, you know?
Right.
But so I don't see why. Well, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I don't see why DC just can't follow a similar. Maybe they don't have to do three solo movies before. Before the team up movie, maybe just another one or two, because they, you know, technically can't include any of the Batman movies. So you have Superman, and then you do another movie, and then jump into Justice League.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
So that's the big elephant in the room, as Roddy Cat called it.
Yeah, but what I was going to say was, on the other side of that coin, though, it's not like superhero movies in general hadn't just thrown other characters in there. I mean, I think we're probably going to see that in Amazing Spider-Man. We've seen it in the X-Men movies. You can kind of say we've seen that in the Avengers movie. Or, we saw it in the Batman movies, still in at least the first couple. So any chance for them to throw extra characters in and maybe spark something out, along the line in the process, it's probably what they were going for.
And as you mentioned, Amazing Spider-Man 2, today we had Sony released the trailer for the Amazing Spider-Man 2, which comes out next year, 2014. Thoughts?
I just watched it before coming on here. It was a pretty decently done trailer. It looks like they were trying to hit Spidey beats, you know, trying to make it feel like the comic book in a couple of senses.
Nice. I haven't watched it yet. So I did see it pop up on social media that it was released. I just didn't have a chance to watch it. Yeah.
So we got to see the mechanical Rhino armor, got to see.
Oh yeah.
Jimmy Fox as Electro, or as someone online called him, Emperor Palpatine. We saw the Harry Osborn.
Oh, no.
The kid from the Chronicle movie, at least one of the kids from Chronicle playing Harry Osborn.
You're not thrilled about that one. That was not a good.
He looked weird. He's a weird looking dude.
Basically.
We showed him. I was assuming it was him on a goblin sled. We got teased.
The assumption, yeah.
Yeah, we got teased with the poster earlier in the week, or late last week.
Yeah. Got teases of Dr. Octopus and Vulture in one scene. We saw Oscorp Laboratory with a pair of four mechanical arms and what looked like a pair of wings.
We saw, presumably, that was Norman in the hospital, on the hospital bed, I guess?
Yeah, Norman was in the hospital bed talking to Harry.
Which still could be, he could still be the goblin in this one, though. I mean, by some means.
So Oscorp is this big evil corporation, and Peter's dad used to work for him, and Peter found some his dad's old lab, and a video recording talking about how dangerous Oscorp is and evil, and they were going to use his inventions for evil, but only he could stop them. And then, of course, fight scenes with Spider-Man and his enemies. So that was the Amazing Spider-Man trailer.
Interesting.
Hey, Gwen. I'm watching it right now. Oh, yeah, that dude looks weird with the hair. Mm-hmm. What the hell's up with that? What is up with that, people?
Harry Osborn.
That's supposed to be Harry Osborn?
Yeah.
That's like half emo, half goth, half, you know, one quarter just lame. What the hell? Who walks out of the house like that? I'm just saying. But anyway, watch the trailer, people. See what I'm talking about.
And let's see, more movie news. Only a couple of hours ago today, Bryan Singer, who is directing X-Men Days of Future Past, tweeted out the words, X-Men Apocalypse 2016.
Really?
So at least we know the villain in whatever the next X-Men movie is going to be.
My theory is, I think the other, like, within the, because you know the stories about, the story that's come out about the Spider-Man spinoffs that are coming. It seems like Fox and Sony are finally getting to the point where they're like, hey, wait, there's more stuff going on than just the main characters. So let's do what we can to keep the licenses and spin off other movies.
That's right. Because we can only fit so many villains into a movie.
Right.
And then so many supporting characters. So let's, you know, let's churn out. Oh my goodness, that is Emperor Palpatine. That is funny. I'm telling you. Oh my God. It looks like that actually did look like they were fighting using the Force. That's very funny.
Yep. Let's see. So that's all the big movie news. And let's see, a couple of little things. So Moon Knight is getting a new series being written by Warren Ellis. Of course, all my news is Marvel news. I can't remember if we actually talked about Daredevil being canceled, but it's going to be relaunched in March 2014. Yeah. Oh yeah, Magneto is getting a series that was announced today. Wolverine the X-Men is coming back. It was announced the ending, but it's coming back. And this on this week's Arrow, Barry Allen debuted.
I can clap for that, even though I didn't watch it.
I watched it. It's part one of two, and it's the next week's is the fall break finale.
Oh, the mid-season break.
Yeah, mid-season.
Gotcha.
So there is that. That's news. Unless anyone else had anything quick they wanted to mention?
Just a couple of quick things. Like, I think Idris Elba said something about wanting to be Jon Stewart in Green Lantern.
Good for him.
I don't actually know what a couple of things, but I can't find it. But so, never mind. There's a pretty good article about Zim Zub talking about writing and motivation, which I will put that in the chat. But outside of that, I don't think I have too much more that I can think of for the last couple of weeks. It's been a long couple of weeks.
Yep.
I'm pretty sure we missed something.
Eh, we'll live.
Yeah.
Because we're also going to, during our reviews of books this week, we'll also mention some of the stuff from last week.
We have to, since I didn't read most of this week.
Naturally. Let's pull up last week. Let's see. That's the 27th. At least books from the 27th. As I wait for my webpage to open, using trusty comiclist.com. Let's see, jump down. I haven't read any DC from last week, so there's nothing from there I can mention. Only stuff from last week I can speak on is Marvel stuff. So I'm probably actually going to just skip all the way to Marvel.
Oh, wait, Flash 25 did come out last week.
Yeah, that was last week. You read it, right?
I did. I still don't understand the necessity of the zero-year stuff, but I haven't really been reading much DC stuff at all, so it doesn't really matter. But I kind of get what they're trying to do. The story actually was pretty good. It was Barry Allen going to Gotham on, I'll almost say, a ride-along with the police or something. Or actually, he was there helping them with a case about some mystery drug that was hitting the streets or something, and Barry was getting into trouble even before they got into that. So it was a pretty good read, and apparently this also informs a little bit on Iris's and Barry's relationship just a little bit. I guess I don't know if that would be a spoiler to even say, but it was, like I said, it was a pretty good read. And from what I hear from the other Zero Year books, the Batman shows up in some kind of shadow or something, but, and I don't remember seeing a panel where he actually did, although there was a, maybe a reflection or something in one of the panels. So if you like The Flash, read it. It was pretty good. And I think the writer and the artist, this is their last book. I mean, yeah, that was their last book.
Okay, so Manipul.
Yeah, and Buccellato, that's their last book. Well, Buccellato's doing a couple of other issues later on, but that's for them as a team until they start doing the Bat. That's it.
Okay. Oh, yeah, while we're discussing this, I will take the opportunity to promote something in the future. On the 12/19 episode of the Comic Book Chronicles, we should be having an interview with someone in the comic book industry. So stay tuned for that, people. We may try to coordinate it for that to be fall on our 50th episode.
All right. Here you go.
Technically, it would be the 49th, but I might record something to throw up for 49th, so that is the 50th.
It'll be like a point one issue.
Yeah, that's the plan for now.
Sounds good.
So yeah, stuff from this past week. Let's see. Let's scroll down to Marvel. Where are you?
Yeah, I would have liked to have. I don't remember trying to read Damian, Son of Batman, number 2. I thought the first issue was okay. So I've got to go back and read that.
I still haven't read the first one. But I did read last week from Image Comics, Black Science, number 1.
How'd you like that one? I read that too.
I liked it. It was sci-fi-ish, but it was the kind of sci-fi that I could understand.
Yeah.
Unlike Hickman Mumbo Jumbo.
Yeah, I read that one too. For me, it kind of read almost like Sliders, if anyone remembers that old TV show.
That's true. Probably why I liked it, because I like Sliders and I like Quantum Leap.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, so I'm kind of looking forward to reading more of that.
Yeah. So basically, it's about, and it's funny because over the holiday weekend, I listened to like 2 podcasts from that Rick Remender guested on, where he talked about Black Science and Uncanny Avengers 14, which book came out last week. But so Black Science is about a scientist. I think his name's Grant.
His Grant first name Ward Grant. Or something.
And he's a member of the Anarchist League. I know Anarchist is part of the league name he's in. And he's broken a bunch of rules in science, and now he's like, him and his team are Ruddy Cat said, traveling or sliding between different dimensions. And so we see them on this one dimension or plane of existence, and they're trying to, they're stuck there for like a certain amount of time, and then they have to go back to, they all have to get together at this one point so they can get slide to the next place they're going to. And they're basically trying to get back home. Hopefully I explained that correctly.
Yeah, that's nailed it.
That's good.
And, well, the only thing to add to that is there's also a little shenanigans in the mix, because the reason why they can't just get themselves straight home is because somebody has sabotaged the machine, which is not a big, well, I guess it would be a spoiler, but it's not so much, because you kind of see it early on. But somebody sabotaged the machine, but at this point, they're pretty much on the run.
Sabotage!
So, you know, right? So, and this is a mature book, so there will be some, well, at least this issue had a little bit of, nudity. Yeah. A little bit of boobs. Clearly, they recognize them. Some people, some things happen to people, and they just pretty much set up the world like that. And I think one of the same podcasts, Tim, that I listened to that you might have, he mentioned that book was pretty much like third. The first book was pretty much the third, but he's felt like the first two would have just been too slow to start off with. So he just started off with them just going into the world, just already into the things.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And I'll actually plug it. It was the I think it was Warp Balloon podcast.
Okay, no, that one. This was a Comixology one, a Comixologist one that I saw.
Actually, I have that tab open on my laptop here to listen to because I saw them tweet it out. They're on iTunes though, right?
Should be, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or Stitcher. I need to just add their feed so I can just listen to it whenever I feel like it.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's Black Science. Last week was a big week for books. Pretty Deadly 2 came out. I didn't read it. I didn't really enjoy the first one either, though. Let's see. All New X-Men number 19 I read. Takes place, of course, after Battle of the Atom. And it introduces the team's newest member, I suppose you can call it, without spoiling anything. The team goes out into the field to help this mutant that's running, trying to run away from the purifiers. And let's see, Avengers Arena 18, read that as the final issue. Some of the kids escaped Murder World and sort of the fallout from that.
Wait, going back to the X-Men one, if it's who I think it is, all I'm just going to say is boo.
I don't boo that. And that's all I'll say.
Yes. Believe it or not, I barely got past the first page. I don't remember what happened, so I'm going to have to go back and reread this.
Okay. Avengers Assemble 21 was an Inhumanity tie-in that guest starred Spider-Girl, and it was Team Spider, her, Black Widow, and Spider-Woman going on a mission. Let's see.
Well, why does everything have to be team something?
Yeah, that's so the annoying. Big thing now.
We're, showing our age, right? Right, Roddy Cat?
Pretty much, yeah. Which, that was the thing I used to like, though, because that's what got me into a few books that I used to read. I mean, even X-Men for, the time that I was reading them. No offense to them.
None taken. Everyone can't enjoy the greatness that is X-Men books like me.
Let's see. Hawkeye number 14, did you read that?
Yeah, I did. It was a Kate Bishop-centric issue,
mm-hmm.
which actually has me wanting to sort of read her adventures, because it seems like this book's been sort of off schedule for so long that I've almost forgotten what Clint Barton has been up to.
Right. Well, I was about to say, I would say
he's been in space. But... He's been in space. That's why. like Roddy Cat will appreciate this. You know, if they ever do like a redo of Marvel Saga, they'll just say, hey, Hawkeye's been in space, and his regular series just picks up when he comes back Earthside. When he's back on Earth.
Yes. Oh man, they should bring that back, or one of those ones.
Exactly. Something to, kind of tell the story, especially establish, especially since Marvel timeline has gotten so screwed up.
Yeah.
So, but, I'm enjoying Hawkeye. I really like where they're going with this. I do agree, though, it was nice to see a Kate Bishop-centric issue.
I also like the fact that they changed the artists, intentionally changed the artists for that, and that's how it's going to be. Like, when they do Kate stuff, it's going to be a different artist than Aha doing the regular Clint story. So I kind of like that.
Wait, Aha is doing this?
No.
The regular story? I thought it was it's not pronounced Aja, or is it Aha?
That's what I thought, too, but I've heard different. I keep saying Aha, but I heard on one or two podcasts somewhere.
Because now all I'm going to hear is Take On Me whenever I...
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, poor Tim.
You and I both.
We are completely aging ourselves here.
So, but yeah.
Google Take On Me by Aha.
Yes.
Aha.
But yeah, I still fall into Aja a lot of times, but I was like, if that is the case, and I think he even came out and said it on Twitter one time, but I don't know where the tweet was. So.
Something to look up.
Yeah.
All right.
Indestructible Hulk, anybody? Or
I read that it was labeled a Inhumanity tie-in, but I'm not sure how it tied into Inhumanity at all, if I'm remembering correctly.
you know, you're gonna be able to say that about a couple of Infinity tie-ins, which one I'm gonna have a small rant about.
Oh.
Okay, so next up is Infinity number 6, which was the end of Infinity. It's all over.
Yeah, not without a bang, but with a flash.
And kind of a whimper.
Yeah.
I thought it was anticlimactic. As much as I wanted to like it,
it was tied up pretty neat.
Yeah.
Which is pretty much all Marvel event books nowadays.
Yeah, they put everything back in. You know, I think I read multiple reviews after I read it that said the same thing I was thinking, which is, you know, Hickman pretty much put everything back in the box nice and neat.
Literally and figuratively, actually, if you think about.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Without spoiling the end.
Yeah.
I just don't understand Thane. What the hell was the point of Thane?
He's one of Thanos' many offspring.
Well, now he's the only one.
He's the only one
left. Yeah. He was the last one.
What's the point? He's got this wacky power. What does that make him? You know what I mean?
He's an inhuman.
So theory is clearly, based on the events of Inhuman, there is going to be another event or something that's going to spur off of this. And Thane is going to come back maybe as a main figure in...
Oh, in humanity? I guess.
Maybe not that. I don't know. We don't know. But if not that, then another event somewhere along the lines that has to do with, you know, Thanos or his legacy.
Mm-hmm. It's like I feel Thanos is going to be hanging around until whenever he finally is the big bad guy in whatever Avengers movie he ends up being the bad guy in.
That sort of makes sense.
Marvel's going to keep him lurking around. Can't forget about
Thanos. Thanos is somewhere. He's there. He's out there.
He may or may not be involved in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right. Yeah, which would seem like that's kind of how Marvel's doing a few different things, which we may get into that too, actually.
But I enjoyed the art in Infinity. It may be enough for me to actually get the trade paperback for it or hardcover, whatever, when it comes out.
Oh, they did a bang up job. They picked the three artists that really complemented each other. You know, Chung, Opinia, and Justin Weaver, right. They really complement each other, and that was a great call on Marvel's part to try to keep the art as consistent as possible.
I stopped reading the Infinity Heist and the Hunt. So
yeah, not me. I didn't use that.
All right, so here's my short and sweet rant on the Infinity Hunt. What the hell was that about?
I don't know because I stopped after issue 2.
So go ahead.
And they're doing another. It seems like they're doing another one a similar one with Inhumanity, The Awakening,
mm-hmm.
right?
Which is also I think is written by Matt Kent. I think mm-hmm. it comes out next week. And I'm probably gonna skip that too if it looks anything similar to The Hunt.
Yeah. So basically, since maybe.
Oh, I got a rant coming up too. Actually, I just remembered it. So go on, Rodcat.
Okay. So basically, it seems like since at least Civil War, they decided, well, you know what? People are going to want to buy every little nick and cranny of what's going on outside of these events. So let's just throw off about 2 or 3, and maybe it was actually before that, because I know you noticed that the Cataclysm stuff is kind of like that. Because I don't even know if there is a main book for that.
There is. It actually came out this week.
Right. Okay.
No, but hold on. But what Civil War tried to do was to have that, like, man on the street view. And remember those books?
Sure.
The War Report, I think they were called, or something like that.
Right.
And I thought those were good. I think they are definitely preying on the completists by, you know, by issuing these, you know, tie-in books that are just on the periphery of the story.
Right, because you can see that in, like, Fear Itself was probably the main one, because, like you say, Fear Itself this, Fear Itself that, Fear Itself this other stuff, and whether they had that much to do with the actual story or not is debatable. That one probably did more so than, I would say, Infinity the Hunt did. Because if that was the case, they could have just put that as like, hey, this happened in something else. I don't know.
Yeah, I got
take it on the Avengers Arena as a something for some reason. Mm-hmm. Which I guess brings us to the other thing. It seems like they might be trying to push the younger the younger characters a little bit more. That's why you see them making some more and potentially what could, I didn't read Avengers Arena, but whoever was left from that and maybe even Young Avengers as we would get to.
Right. I wanted to get back to Infinity number 6 for just a moment. I was just flipping through it, and there's this one scene featuring Superman, I mean Hyperion. And I'm like, really, dude? You waited until this point in the story to do that?
Right.
Seriously? You know, he decided to go all like, burn. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I don't like the character, period.
Well, you know, they really haven't developed him that well, but they needed an extra heavy hitter on the team because of where they were, you know, where they're putting them. Because it can't just be Thor. And if they're going to leave Iron Man on planet, you know, then they have to give Cap somebody to back him up in space, you know?
Mm-hmm. And so, this kind of goes back to what Marvel's been doing, which kind of been pulling out older characters that mm-hmm. haven't really seen any light in a while. And they've been doing that a lot since Marvel now, which I'm not complaining, but it is a thing.
Right. But yeah, that scene, you know, like I said, it's only the book is only a week old. We still shouldn't really spoil it, but he definitely pulls a Superman move. And I'm like, really? There's been 6 issues of this, and how many tie-in books? You couldn't do this to all these bad guys before?
Right.
You know?
And it could have been Sentry.
Seriously.
So I would take this the way they did this, I guess, over that. But at the same time, it's still, yeah, it's still, that was like, he really could have just taken care of that.
Yeah, seriously. All right, rant over.
Yeah.
We had New Avengers number 12, which was the Infinity epilogue. Epilogue comes after everything, right?
Sure, yeah.
So I don't even remember what this dealt with.
Things are not looking well.
The Illuminati.
The Illuminati reforming.
T'Challa's not in a good place with his people.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, neither is Black Bolt.
Yeah, neither is Black Bolt. And that's kind of going into Inhumanity. So mm-hmm.
more stuff with Black Panther and Namor.
Mm-hmm. We see 2 potential new big bads get introduced. Well, not introduced, but at least spoken upon. So I guess it's going to go into the next arc of that book.
Who was that? I can't remember.
Yeah, see, now I'm looking. What is he talking
Black Swan about? Was talking about... Well, there was an article about this, but Black Swan was talking about the Ivory Kings or the black somethings. And I can't remember, but...
There were two people she talked about.
Yeah.
I thought it was Hickman mumbo-jumbo.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was just going to say, she was doing a lot of cryptic Pikmin, Mumbo Jumbo, Cryptid talking. So
yeah, no. She basically says that, hey, if you think these are the only people that were there, then you. What if it was these other people coming?
And
through?
The builders went out like punks.
Right.
They did.
They went from being the main antagonists of Infinity to Thanos.
No, but here's the thing: the builders were basically just hopped up robots. But they had big. You know, they had multiple Death Stars. I've said this before. Mm-hmm. It's a big deal to have multiple Death Stars because if you remember in Star Wars, they had 1. So, you know, if you have multiple Death Stars, it's kind of a big deal.
Right.
That made the builders formidable.
Right. But the only thing with Star Wars is you had the Emperor, which granted there was somebody could take his place. But as far as the universe is, nobody is above the Emperor. In this case, there's people above the builders. Mm. So,
yeah, but the universe is large.
True.
You know, if Lucas had his way, right?
True.
But yeah, you know, I kind of got a kick out of this Black Swan character. I like the way Deodato draws her; like she's really expressive.
Yes.
She's got some really great expressions, and so you know, she kind of gets under your skin a little bit. Like, oh yeah, she's just really dismissive and nasty and. You know, it's just, I thought it was drawn really well.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll delve into her background at some point, maybe even leading into something.
Right. Oh, I see now. The map makers. And
yes.
Sidaria, Maris, and the masters themselves. Like, who could they be talking about? Bum, bum, bum.
There you go.
You know, it's like before it used to just be the Celestials. Remember them?
Yeah.
You know, and it was the Celestials, Galactus, and who are, you know, but now I guess they're just expanding the cosmos and the cosmic character pantheon, you know?
Right, which I'm kind of wondering if the Celestials are going to come back one day, given something I think I saw, particularly with the Inhumans being around.
Right.
Or back to form.
That's interesting. Okay.
Nova 10.
Oh, yes. Nova number 10, a.k.a. Nova 100, because it was the 100th issue, single issue of Nova put out by Marvel, because counting all the previous iterations of Nova series that have come before.
Mm-hmm.
And it was basically him deciding to join. Yes, he would be a member of the New Warriors part-time whenever that book launches next year. And then there was a surprise at the end, which I won't spoil. Something physically wrong with him.
Oh, yeah.
So that was Nova.
And Richard Rider comes back. No, I'm joking. I don't.
That's not true. If only.
Man.
Oh, wait, back up. FF, anybody read that?
Nope.
Sorry, dude. How'd it go? It's on my list.
For a fan.
I know I'm the Fantastic Four fan. I haven't had a chance to catch up on that yet.
It's sad. This and Uncanny Avengers, I buy them, but I haven't read them. Except at least I've been trying to catch up on Uncanny Avengers, but that's an old story.
Scarlet Spider, I read number 24. I think next issue is the last one, 25. Scarlet Spider taking on. I'm not even sure who the enemy is now. It's some like mystical type. People, someone that can disguise their looks to look like other people, and I don't know. But the art was nice, so. Superior Spider-Man number 22 began Darkest Hours, where Venom, or Agent Venom, co-stars.
Hadn't read that yet.
Yes, and actually 23 came out this week, so you got Amazing, or Superior Spider-Man back-to-back weeks.
Yes, definitely. And you know what's funny is that I completely didn't realize that Superior was out last week, and I read this week's issue before last week's issue. So a little out of sequence, but I'm definitely enjoying, like, this was a kind of a downer issue, to be perfectly honest. But I'm definitely enjoying seeing Ock get a little bit of a comeuppance. You know, I love how it's like week to week. It's like, all right, you know, let's see if we can't make Ock's life a little bit more crazy. But you know, it seemed, you know, this particular issue I thought was one of the weaker ones of the slot Superior Spider-Man run.
Yep, and I did review Superior Spider-Man 22 and 23 and All New X-Men number 19, and you can read those reviews on theclicknation.com. So yes, Uncanny Avengers number 20 or number 14.
14.
A lot of death.
Ding ding ding.
We won't say who was.
I think I got spoiled on that. But is it really? Well, I guess there's the. Is it really? Are they really? Or are they? Is there really death?
I mean, as far as we know, there's death.
Right.
Of course, it's comic book story, right. So there's a lot more story to
be
told.
Is it a red herring or not? Exactly.
Well, I know. Let's see. I think it was this week, Marvel held one of their next big thing live blogs where they talked with Rick Remender, and he sort of laid out some of the future stuff coming up.
Yeah.
The whole Planet X, where all the mutants on Earth get taken to, I guess, Planet X. And Wasp is the only human there, and basically how the team members, they slowly start to find out what happened in 14 to sort of get their reaction. This is just in upcoming issues because, you know, the team is split up right now. So over time, they'll start to learn what happened. And Bleeding Cool had an article up saying that Rogue will be taken off the playing field for at least a year. And that's the reason Monet replaced, or Monet joined the X-Men female team. Sort of replace Rogue's presence. And yeah.
Interesting.
But I'm loving Uncanny Avengers. It's one of my favorite books going on right now, just because I like this huge story that Remender's telling.
I think it's past the confusing part, right?
Yeah, it's like some big 18 issue arc he's got going.
Right.
And it's not tying into any other events going on in Marvel.
Right. I hate to say this is definitely one of those story arcs that would be easier to read in a trade.
Definitely.
You know, like it's just recently gotten past the confusing parts of the book. That's really my biggest gripe with the whole story. But I definitely agree that it's definitely picking up, you know, in the last two issues at least.
Yeah. And let's see. I read Uncanny X-Force 14. I'm not too crazy about this X-Force book. I don't care about Cassandra Nova and Revenants. Wolverine X-Men 38, S.H.I.E.L.D., a.k.a. Maria Hill, and Dazzler, or the person pretending to be Dazzler, come to the Jean Grey school to talk to the X-Men about them having mutant hunting sentinels. And then Wolverine decides to go do something about it. And then Wolverine X-Men Annual Number 1, it's basically a kid gladiator solo story.
I enjoyed this book. I actually made a point of reading this. I thought this was very funny.
Yes. A lot of people said they enjoyed that a lot more than the regular issue.
This was actually a pretty enjoyable issue. I recommend it. It's well written. Nick Bradshaw, I think, does a big chunk of the art, and it's pretty well done. It's kind of nice to see kind of what was going on. Does the trade dress show that it's kind of an Infinity tie-in? I think it does, right?
What does?
It does. So yeah, the trade dress has it's an Infinity tie-in. So you already know going in that it's going to be tied in somewhat. But it's nice to see this side of, you know, like what was going on with Gladiator. I was always kind of wondering where Kid Gladiator was if he wasn't at school. And where was he this entire time during Infinity? And now we know. Did you read it, Roddy Cat?
No.
You should read it.
Yeah, I might. Just might.
You should read it. You don't necessarily have to know too much about the X-Men to read this. So.
Okay. Cool.
So that's everything from last week.
Let's back up a second. Going back to the you just hit on something, Tim, when you were talking. Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you would know someone who would probably fit pretty decently in there, Dazzler. And it sounds like a joke, but...
You talking on the TV
show? On the show, yeah. I mean, granted, I don't think it should be more focused on people with powers, per se, you know, but if you're going to have someone whose power set, you know, could kind of even things out, but not necessarily take away from the rest of the team, Dazzler.
Well, it depends on how you develop the powers, right? Like, when Claremont, you know, remember when Claremont had his hands on her during the X-Men in the Outback years, you know, he pumped her up a lot.
Yeah.
You know, she had photon blasts and lasers and the flash bulb and all that stuff. You know, she had a lot of capability at that time. But if you start her out as the disco queen or the, well, I don't know what music you would have her sing now, you know, the pop music queen, then maybe, like more basic light-based powers, you know, might be pretty easy to pull off.
Yeah. Or they could have Skye do it because apparently she was a Chinese pop star in her younger, well, what? She's still young. Yeah. Apparently she
no
had
kidding.
A, yeah. Before she started doing acting and she, well, before she came over here and started doing acting, she was like a Chinese pop star or something. Or had a
no hit. Kidding.
Yeah.
Well, she certainly developed well.
Very nice.
So books from this week. It's going to be a quick show.
Yeah.
The only thing from DC I can mention is, what did I say I read before? Oh, Green Arrow number 26.
Okay. Which
is beginning of the Outsiders War. Oliver, a.k.a. Green Arrow, and Shadow go back to the island to search for the Arrow amulet or Arrow artifact, because every clan, there's like all these different clans, and there's a Arrow clan, Arrow and Shield clan at the end. Yeah, I'm enjoying like the art and the story, and Arrow's picked up a lot since New 52 started, but I'm not sure I'm crazy about this whole different clans and being everything being mystical in the Arrow universe.
Worship the Arrow.
So that's Arrow or Green Arrow. And am I the only one that watched Arrow from this week's?
Yeah, I'm still catching up on season one.
It's very good. That's all I'll say. And I guess we talked about it earlier in the show.
Yeah. Right.
Any other DC? I'm assuming no, because everyone's trying to play catch up.
Nope.
There's a couple things out here I'm going to read, but yeah. Okay. IDW didn't have anything.
No Dynamite here.
Image.
Battlestar Galactica, I'm going to read.
Yeah, there's a couple stuff I'm going to read, but I'll just skip mentioning anything right now until I get caught up. Let's see, Marvel. I will mention the Amazing Spider-Man 700.1 issue that came out. I'm not sure exactly what's supposed to be going on with this. It's a Peter Parker story, and it's going to be like four of them. I think they come out in consecutive weeks. So like next week is Amazing Spider-Man 700.2 and then 0.3 the following week.
I was trying to read it before the show started, but I only got a couple pages in. It's hard to say, you know, exactly what they're trying to go do with this, but it's nice to see the Peter Parker that we all know and love. Damn you, you know, slot. You know, it's nice to see that character back, you know, doing Peter Parker things. So, you know, I haven't finished reading it, but, you know, I definitely appreciated hearing things from the Peter Parker perspective.
Yep. Okay. Amazing X-Men number 2, which carries on the story of the group of X-Men and their
amazing friends.
So, I was going to try to think of a way to say them going on to try to rescue Banshee.
You did not see that.
Nightcrawler, man. Nightcrawler. Come on.
Come on.
No, I was thinking of Bamps and Banshee came out.
It's funny that you say amazing friends, because obviously, you know, given the membership of this particular X-Men team, you know, the comparison is definitely there. You're just waiting for a Spidey team up, right?
Exactly. But I hadn't read this one yet, so I don't know. Was it? You said you didn't care for it too much, Tim, or something?
Yeah, I read it last night, and I don't know. I just wasn't really feeling the issue. I don't know if it's because I don't care about Azazel and these demons that X-Men are finding in the afterlife. I don't know.
Means to an end.
The art, and another thing is like it seems like it's going to be a long arc. If I remember correctly, that said like part two or five. Yeah, it seems like a lot. Just to get Nightcrawler back.
That's funny.
I don't know.
No, that's about right for trade. I mean, that's about
yeah.
right.
I mean,
yeah, that's a nice trade size, right?
Ed McGuinness art was nice, of course. I don't know. We'll see.
That's nice.
Hopefully, the issue 3 will maybe win me over more.
The midway point? Yeah, Tim's just waiting for the midway point.
I'm skipping all the way down to Inhumanity number 1.
All right, now you're going to have to tell me about this because I did not read this.
It's basically a Karnak-based issue. He sort of gives like a synopsis rundown of the Inhumans history and now the, I guess, retcon history of the Inhumans. Basically how like their some of the Inhumans, when they got tested with by the Kree, they escaped off of Attilan. Is that how you pronounce it?
Sure, I don't know.
Yeah, but they're
that
home.
Works. Attilan,
and they scattered across the globe and had hidden colonies, and procreated with humans, and that's how the human seeds spread around. And
that makes sense, to a certain extent. If you think about it, I don't know how far back on Inhumans either of you go. But, even the times that they tried to develop the Inhumans in, that Paul Jenkins limited series from, the mid-2000s? You guys remember that?
I didn't read it.
No?
I know of it, but I didn't read it.
Right. Yeah. I collected it. I read it. Do you think I remember any of it? No.
Yeah.
But, ultimately, it makes sense because, the Inhumans have been relocated a number of times. Remember the Blue Area of the Moon, mm-hmm. the Himalayas. And, and most recently, floating above New York City, it does make sense that, that at some point through some reason or through some means, some Inhumans who don't have to be they used to have like a second class citizen, almost like a slave labor type thing going on where the non-Inhumans were basically supporting Attilan. So, mm-hmm. It makes sense that some people who weren't part of the royal family would just sort of find their way out of Attilan, the royal city, and settle amongst the Earth population. So it wasn't that much of a stretch for that concept to gain traction for me, at least.
Yeah, I can see that.
So, and then next, at the end of the issue, it said there's going to be an Inhumanity Medusa book, so one shot. So you got that to look forward to, and there probably will be some more until, I guess we didn't announce it in the news, but the Inhuman book, which is supposed to kickstart this whole Inhumanity age, it was originally going to come out in January, but it got pushed all the way back to April, I believe.
No kidding.
March or April, one of them two.
Yeah, March or April.
Wow.
They didn't say why. They being Marvel.
Okay. Or they didn't get enough lead time on the book, I wonder.
Maybe.
It was announced freaking
true
in the summer.
Yeah, but if artists change, you know what I mean?
They announced the team of being Matt Fraction and Joe Madureira.
And see, that's the other thing. Fraction got a few books under his belt, so.
Yeah, he had to stop writing both FF books.
Mm-hmm.
And then Hawkeye got delayed because I think David Aja got sick or somebody got sick, I think.
Right.
Yep, busy man.
Yeah. So, back up. Fearless Defenders 12, last issue.
Oh, yeah. How did I skip that?
For whatever reason, we've been jumping straight to the eyes, right?
Because that was pretty much the biggest thing of the week.
It got bunched in with all those these Fantastic Four and Guardians of the Galaxy and Phantom Mets stuff.
Yeah, so. It wrapped up pretty much I don't want to say Infinity, but I keep doing that fashion. It just wrapped up, but it also leads into something that they're probably going to take up later on.
Or someone's will be free to take it, pick up on it.
Yeah, because somebody, speaking of bringing back classic Marvel characters, somebody comes back.
Hmm.
Yeah.
It's kind of really not hard to tell if you've read the book, so it's not that much of a spoiler, but I won't say it. And that's pretty much where it leaves off. It's a quick read.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. Okay. I'm definitely going to have to reread this. Tablet, here I come. I'm going to definitely, I have this feeling that in order to keep up with the reading for the show, I'm definitely going to have to go electronic for, just to keep up because, picking up my books on Wednesdays and doing review, getting review copies and whatnot. You just have to go electronic and you have to go tablet because it's portable. Yeah. I'm joining the tablet. I'm gonna be joining the tablet army.
Welcome,
Tim. And Roddy Cat.
Yes.
Except you guys have iPads, probably.
No, I have a mini, but I have a I do all my reading on an Android tablet. So.
Oh, okay. I was thinking of getting the Nexus 7.
Good choice.
Talk about hijacking the conversation. I'm going to get a Nexus 7.
Hey,
you know?
It's a good choice.
You know, like I need to get something portable. You like the mini, right, Tim?
I have the regular 10-inch.
Oh, you have the regular 10-inch. Okay.
Yeah, I want it optimal viewing and reading space.
Gotcha.
Adam Blatt's got a mini, though.
Yeah, I was going to say, you don't ride the New York City subways, though.
Yeah. I sit in my house or my cubicle.
In your four-cornered room, staring at comics.
Hey, all you listeners and viewers out there, if you got any tablet suggestions beyond the Nexus 7, which I may very well buy before the end of the week, you guys let me know.
I would put in something for the Asus Transformer Pad. It's probably a little...
Yeah, but it's not an Autobot or a Decepticon, so I have no reason to really favor it.
Indeed.
Your advice in on that, and we'll move on.
But it's a solid 10-inch pad. It's probably a little bit heavier than the
Nexus.
It's definitely heavier than that, but also iPads. But it's a solid, it's a solid tablet.
Gotcha.
And the Nexus 7 is pretty good because it's almost you can't even see my hands on while I'm doing that. But it is pretty much like you can one hand it pretty and with a comic book, pretty much the way the size of a comic book is, it's almost that size.
Nice.
So that is a good portable read. But anyway.
All righty, moving on. What do we have here for this week?
I can skip the Young Avengers, but
anyone read Iron Man at all? Anyone care about what happens to Arno?
I mean, I'm gonna read it. I just haven't got to it yet. Okay. Before we skip to Young Avengers, Superior Spider-Man 23.
Oh yeah.
Actually, I guess I talked about it kind of a 22. It's
exactly,
more stuff.
Exactly. Yeah, because I read this out of order. So.
Yeah. Something happens at the end. And we also get, let's see, with Venom and Spider-Man, something happens at the end. And we also got Peter Parker and Anna Marie Marconi.
Yeah, there's some weird stuff going on with that. Yeah.
Aunt May and
her husband. I love that character.
Who?
Anna Maria.
Really?
Yeah.
She's cool, but, you know, she's mildly annoying. But I guess that's part of the character.
Mm. Yeah, she's not necessarily Mary Jane. But there's, you can see little hints, I guess, you know, no pun intended with the little, but.
Yeah. What did you guys think of Aunt May's reaction? Because that's what I think people are talking about, right?
It's not like they put that in there just for people to talk about.
You think so?
Yeah, it seemed a lot, very shoehorned in.
Okay.
It didn't seem natural to me.
Gotcha. That's what I thought too. It seemed out of place, that would not normally happen.
I mean, it did seem like, I mean, her reaction was a very old person reaction.
Wait, did they really do? I didn't read a book. Did they really do that?
She was Aunt May was asking about. Well, she kind of brought up the subject of her being a smaller person.
Oh, okay. I was thinking something else. Okay.
A smaller person. I love how politically correct that is.
Yeah.
She's a hobbit.
right before I was gonna say how we're politically correct on the comment.
You're a hobbit. We know funny. It's little person, so don't write in.
Right. Send any and all hate mail or hate tweets to agent_70. The opinions expressed herein are not the opinions of the Click Nation.
Oh, man.
It was only on – it's a hobbit on the brain because the movie's coming out.
Fair.
In a couple of weeks, so – that's funny. Mercy. All right. So no one read Secret Avengers number 12.
Nobody read Guardians. All
right. Nah.
Have to catch up on this.
I don't read Secret Avengers anymore, and I'll get to Guardians.
Mm. Speaking of Guardians, that in, I don't know if this one is the same way, but that quarter, well, actually, that was a, the last issue was a bigger tie-in than some of the other books that came by, but the, I was thinking they were going to be a slightly bigger presence in Infinity and Avengers 23 than they were, because you basically just saw him in a couple of panels, and then and that was it.
Right. That was kind of weird. I agree with that.
Yeah, so if you hadn't read Guardians 8, you would not, you would have not have known what they were doing there.
Yeah, everything's so out displaced. This week has still has an Infinity tie-in, even though Infinity ended last week. And
right.
Yeah. It's a little wacky. Oh, I've got to catch up on Young Avengers, apparently, because that, that, I guess, is the last book we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
There's some stuff going on, apparently.
Yeah. They battle, things end. I guess the true machinations finally come to bear, as it were.
Which book is this?
Young Avengers.
Oh, Young Avengers.
But it sounds like they do, they're going to do what they probably were going to do with any other, or have done with Young Avengers in the past. Like, all right, we'll put this on pause for a minute and then come back later on. Because there's some stuff they probably could address. Well, that still actually go, that went unaddressed, actually.
Right. So is there a next issue coming out?
I think it's two more issues. I think two more issues in it. Okay. It's supposed to be like some two-part after party.
Thing. Right.
And then series ends.
Okay.
And then it'll probably be relaunched again.
Of course, like everything else.
Yes.
Or that the probably coming Young Avengers Runaways, Avengers Hybrid. Arena, yeah, X-Men.
Well, Avengers Arena is becoming Avengers Undercover.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
What is that about? I saw something about that. I did not know what they meant by undercover.
That's basically like a solo book, isn't it, almost?
Some of the survivors of Avengers Arena decide to infiltrate the Masters of Evil to take them down from the inside. And, of course, it'd be the whole... Yes. It'll be the whole, you know, they're going undercover to take down the bad guys, but what if some of them start to feel more comfortable with the bad guys?
And... somebody gets too deep.
Yeah.
They go native.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Hey, wait, when did Avengers AI, was that last week? Never mind.
I think it was last week.
It was last week.
I did flip through it, even though I said I was going to stop reading it.
That was pretty good. I thought it was pretty good.
Really?
Yeah,
I gotta catch up.
It reminded me why I said I was gonna start reading it.
I mean, they're off in their own little corner, so they're doing their thing.
And... it's mostly just like, you know, I just don't. It's not capturing me.
Yeah. It's got a Doombot though, man.
A Doombot,
yeah. An irate Doombot just messing with people. Vision has a sense of humor, apparently.
Right.
Pym's
go bipolar. Figure.
Yeah. Pym's bipolar, which that's sure.
Yeah, it's not a surprise.
Yeah. So there are things, but it's a decent book. It's not unnecessary, but hey, it's a decent read if you got something. Oh. You want a little side Avengers book?
Hey, we need someone to read it. So
yeah, seriously.
Yeah, well, you know.
Feel free.
Oh yeah, that's me. Avengers books all day.
Hey, I love them too, but, you know, sometimes you have to draw the line.
True.
Now I'm actually going to start trying to, I've been overloading myself trying to read everything again, so again, it's almost time to cut the fat, as they say.
There you go. Yep. End of the year, slash and burn, man.
Yep.
And there is that line is coming with the next two books, I think, so... the Avengers World and Avengers Undercover, I think.
I'll be reading Avengers World just because Stefano Caselli will be at least drawing the first arc, I'm sure, before something else comes on. And there's some other, like, New Warriors I'll be reading. I'll probably skip the Punisher and the Black Widow books and the Elektra book.
I'll probably read the Punisher book and the Black Widow book, at least the first issues or two. But, you know, they'll have to grab my attention pretty quickly.
Yeah, I'll probably read the Black Widow and the Moon Knight book when it comes out.
Speaking of the Moon Knight book, I know we brought it up in news, there was a couple, I believe there was an article on one of the bigger comic sites. I had it up in Evernote before, but I closed the program. The look is drastically different now that they're going to be using. And I thought it was pretty slick looking. Like he's like walking around in like a, just a mask and like a suit, I believe.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of cool. Like it's kind of a different take. And, you know, everyone loves to talk about the fact that Moon Knight wears white. That's, and he's running around at night and it says, look at me, I'm here coming for you. He's not trying to hide. You know, and that, and how that's kind of a distinctive trait, you know, because anyone who's doing that, it's got to be really crazy.
Yeah. Now, the question is, will they go new wave with it or will they go, oh, excuse me, next wave with it, or will they be a little bit more serious? And
it's probably more serious, but they're definitely going to be making, you know, more, they'll probably be trying to develop the more, what is it, supernatural side?
Sure.
If I'm not mistaken, I think I read that. Now I'm gonna open up the freaking article.
They've done that before, not to great lengths, but yeah, that has been done, and or focus on his I guess schizophrenia or what have you.
Right. Here we go. Yeah, Warren Ellis to relaunch Marvel's Moon Knight.
Boom. And actually, I started reading Daredevil just because everyone has been talking about how great it is. And it's actually pretty cool, but like I find myself reading it now, and it's like I read it, and I'm like, why am I still reading this?
No.
It's not bad. It's just, I don't know.
Yeah, it was probably over for me. It was hyped up. It was overhyped for you.
I mean, like I said, it's not bad. I enjoyed it. I don't know, a book either has to have like a lot of action stuff in it or a lot of humor.
Mm.
Like stuff in the middle, I'm just like, eh. Or it needs great art, which it actually does have good art because I do like Chris Samney. I don't know. I want to read it. I'm stuck in this weird spot because I want to read it to the end, and then I'm gonna start reading it once it relaunches and see what goes on. But
you know what's funny is that now, right now, in the position that we're in, we are not regular comic book readers. We're not. Because we have to look at these things with a critical eye.
Right.
So we can't approach it like, you know, we would at the comic book store. So I'm going to pick this up because I'm spending my hard-earned money. You know, we have to kind of keep our eyes and ears open and our minds open to these things. So maybe, you know, I do agree with Tim when he says we have to kind of be discriminating readers and have a list. You know, maybe in the new year, that's what we should do with the, you know, with the Combo Chronicles, kind of divide up the weekly list and say, all right, you read these, and you read these.
Yeah. I mean, it all just boils down to, hey, you read what you like, and then if you happen to get to something else past that, then so be it. I mean, that's kind of how it needs to be.
Yeah, I mean, that's how we've been doing it, so I guess maybe we should just stick to that, too. Because that's what keeps it fun, right?
Yeah.
Yep. All right. So,
do we have clicks of the week and non-superhero books of the week? Because I'm going through this list like, oh my god, I don't have anything.
Did we say we were doing non-comic book clicks of the week?
Well, if you have one, that's the one that's harder to get because we read superhero comics all the time.
I don't think. Wait, you didn't read Quantum and Woody, Tim?
I actually was gonna try to read it before the show started. I just uploaded the iPad with stuff to try to read, and I only got through Green Arrow 26 was the only thing I got through. Because, yeah, I loaded that. I loaded Velvet number 2, which came out this week.
Yeah,
me too. So I was going to try to, like, since I read a lot of Marvel stuff, I was like, I'm trying to get some DC and some independent stuff in here. But, alas, I started eating and flipping channels. Yeah. Dang, what would my pick of the week be?
Last week's stuff, too, remember.
Yeah.
Well, last week it would be Uncanny Avengers. Uncanny Avengers number 14. Boom.
There you go. I'm thinking about using that one, picking that one too. I actually kind of enjoyed that.
Oh, I have to go back to that one and see. I haven't finished reading this one yet, but this one may be the click of the week. Burn the Orphanage. Born to Lose number 2 came out this week.
Yeah, I saw your Tumblr review of it. I read the first issue of that, actually. I remember when it came out because it looked kind of interesting.
I enjoyed it. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, number two is out this week because I guess that one's the most. That's the whole.
Well, thing wait a minute. Number two up. Just came out. I remember reading number one like months ago.
Well, yeah, and that's the other thing because it's. I think it has been like I think it came out in August or something. When the first one came out, and now they just got to the second one.
You know, that's, like, as WMB West would say, that's image for you. And quick little short story for involving WMB West. I had a, you know, I think yesterday was the big Wonder Woman news, and I got on last night on Twitter last night, and J. Scott Campbell was like, you know, since everyone's Wonder Woman crazy, I'm going to share this Instagram picture of a Wonder Woman picture I drew, who knows when he drew it, but it was just like, you know, J. Scott Campbell, Wonder Woman, and I retweeted it, and William B. West replied just to me saying, oh, look, it's a Wonder Woman J. Scott Campbell image in the same image that he always has women in, like the facial expression. Like, you know, all her women had the same facial expression. It's basically the joke he made. And then I think I would play, I just happened to have a black cat from, you know, Spider-Man hero slash villain, Vigilante. I have a picture on my iPad that J. Scott Campbell drew, and I was like, does she have the same face too? And I, you know, included the picture and tweeted it back to him, and he was like, yeah, exactly. Then all of a sudden, J. Scott Campbell replied to me and him
with, of course,
with a thumbs up and the emoticon of the squinting eye and sticking a tongue out at us. Keep in mind, he was not at it in this whole conversation.
Yeah, but you know they yeah. Yeah, you know they're looking.
That's so, comedy. Which led me to
say Twitter is awesome.
Yeah.
And it's because, and also at the same time, I'm having this convo with William B. West and also with J. Scott Campbell jumping into it. I'm also tweeting with Brett Bruce, the comic book artist, and we're sitting there talking about Barry Allen and being on Arrow and Wonder Woman and whatnot.
Hmm.
So at the same time, I'm having two conversations completely different, but they kind of merged.
Nice.
Hey, I mean, listen, Ed Piskor, the guy that was doing Hip Hop Family Tree, was tweeting. Like, I don't know. Wait, were you tweeting him directly?
Oh, after I was listening to the last CBC or the one before that when you mentioned it, and I asked him about when the next ones are coming out, and that's right. When he replied to me, and that's when I retweeted back to you.
Right. And all of a sudden, I was like, wait a second, now we're all communicating with the comic book creator, with the guy who did it. I'm like, this is
right.
Twitter's awesome.
Right, but I think there was one previously that he did jump. Yeah, that he like probably about a week or two prior that he did pop in on.
Right, because the book hadn't come out yet, and right. We were talking about reading the previews. Mm-hmm. That's what it was, and he just popped up like out of nowhere. He's like, he favorited my tweet, and I was like, oh my goodness.
Right, exactly.
Gotta love it.
Yeah, I do love Twitter for that. For that at least.
Yeah, like, you guys actually respond back.
Yeah, seriously.
And clearly they're looking, so.
Yeah, they're always looking.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I try to say too much nigger stuff
nowadays. Yeah, because I feel bad about something I said. Matter of fact, and I don't know if he's listening to this and that, but Watson and Holmes, I sent two tweets, and one that mentioned the book and one that made some offhand statement about restraint and titling the book, and he replied to the first one.
You're like,
I don't know if he saw the second one, but he didn't say anything about it. So I was like, you know, it wasn't nothing nasty, but it was just like, kind of offhand.
Okay. All right. Well,
but yes.
I was going to say, especially since we're going to have creators on as interview guests, hopefully.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, but we also can't be afraid to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so let's, you know, we try to find the right balance.
Yeah.
I just remembered what my click of the week should be for the 2 weeks that we've been doing this, even though I didn't read all that much this week, is Wolverine the X-Men Annual #1 because of how much fun I had reading the adventures of Kid Gladiator. So that's my click of the week. 2 weeks.
There you go. All right. So,
well, wait,
Yeah, I wanted to give you as much time as possible.
Oh, I thought you had said yours earlier.
No. Well, yeah, I said that was a preemptive one because I hadn't finished that one yet, but it was pretty good. I think I'm going to go with Black Science number one from last week.
That works.
Because that was a pretty good read, and I'm looking forward to seeing more of what's going on in that world.
I'm going to have to read that.
Okay. So I want to thank everyone that tuned in live to tonight's episode of the Conflict Chronicles. And to those watching or listening to the replay, we will be back. Of course, we're live every Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Except for the days we take breaks, or the weeks we take breaks.
Yeah, pretty much you can count on the holidays.
Yes, holidays.
We sort of have to take those off.
And
so what number are we up to now?
This is 47.
Okay.
Getting close to 50. Adam Black gave me at least one sort of idea for something to throw for our 50th anniversary.
And that was something I forgot to mention to you, but I'll say it off air.
Okay.
All right.
So, yes, we have things planned.
Yes. People. They're in the works.
Yep. So stay tuned. Follow us on our Twitter accounts. I'm at TimGOGG98, at TheClickNation. Agent 70 is at Agent_70. Roddy Cat is at Roddy Cat, RoddyKat.
Yep.
And also,
news nerds need my Twitter news linking account.
I always almost forget that one.
Yeah, that's right. So it's right sometimes.
Dirt is at PCN_dirt. And make sure to go to popculturenetwork.com where you can find lots of stuff. He has his own podcast, video shows, and he has comic book reviews and news and previews. So check that out as well.
And the holidays are coming. What is it? ShopPCN.com? What was this?
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, ShopPCN.com, I think it. I guess I could try it now, but it'll be quite, I have too many tabs open.
Yeah, I'll try it real quick.
It'll take forever for my page to finish loading.
That's fun.
And I think it's just a link to like the eBay.
Yeah, shoppcn.com.
Okay, cool.
There you go.
So with that, we are the Comic Book Chronicles, and we are signing off.
Peace.
Trace Chronic, yo. I'm steady tripping over them pages and dogging Adam Black. No. Yeah. Graphic or not, this is motherfucking comic book art. The man, Stan Lee, Jack Kirby, Jim Lee, Rob Liefeld, what? We don't give a as long as them pages are hot. And it's written by Chris Claremont.